Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1821, the topic is nutrition, and the title is Nutrition Review, Fat Loss. So we're going to look at one of my newer clients, actually going to do kind of a little bit of a nutrition review that I would do for them, but not have it be on a podcast. But I want to go ahead and throw it into a podcast. I thought it might be interesting for people to listen to. So the new client, she needs to lower cholesterol. One of the reasons why she reached out was she had poor blood work recently. So she had high cholesterol, she had pre-diabetes, and was like, oh crap, I got to get this under control. So we want to lower cholesterol. She wants to lose about 30 to 35 pounds, reduce body fat percentage, build muscle by developing a sustainable fitness and nutrition plan. Awesome. Love that, because that's the only way I want to do it. And then they want to possibly compete in a dance competition, which is freaking fun. I love that kind of stuff. And she wants to teach a dance class. Of course. Love it. It's fun when we have goals outside of just like how much we weigh. It's nice to do something with our body other than be always worried about the way it looks. And she wants to get back to a 10-minute, 30-second or lower run pace for a half marathon. Awesome. So I do train people for half marathons, marathons, and all the other craziness that people do with running. It's super fun goals. Love it. So we'll get her all these things. No problem there. She also wrote, I consider myself a foodie and eat all kinds of cuisines, including Italian and vegetarian, but I'm Chinese. So our dinners are often Asian, Indian, Thai, Chinese, and difficult to log because of all the ingredients. I like to make my own pasta and bread from scratch and usually make a fresh loaf of sourdough every week. So we eat more bread than we should. She's going to find out that that's okay. There is no like too much bread. There's too many carbs for calorie content and not getting enough protein. But you know, how much bread you actually eat to make up your calories isn't, there's often not those kind of rules. You can fit bread in if you want to. Then she wrote, many of my work meetings are over lunch, and we often go out with friends to dinner, so those meals are difficult to log. I'm allergic to alcohol, ooh, so I can only drink about 2 ounces of beer or wine or a half ounce of liquor. That'll just help. Sorry to hear that for you, but alcohol is wasted calories, so it's not the, you know, it's very frustrating. Like, I've worked with people who are lactose intolerant, who are, you know, have gluten issues, and they can't eat certain foods, and it is a bummer to not be able to have that food anymore. But in some cases, it actually adds to the ability for them to be healthier because it's a forced restriction that just kind of helps. So myself, for example, I had a sickness in 22 or 21. I got super sick for like a week and a half. I lost a lot of weight, couldn't get out of bed, super sick. And after that, I had a hard time digesting lactose. Very weird. I used to drink a gallon of milk a day, and I kid you not, that's not an exaggeration. I drank a gallon of milk a day for 2 years in order to try to gain weight. But now if I try to drink milk, it makes me sick. I can't even eat ice cream, it makes me sick. So whatever the hell that sickness was, got me good. So I haven't been eating ice cream for the last year and a half, 2 years, however long it's been since I had that sickness. And it's a little bit of a bummer. Ice cream was my favorite treat. It was my favorite thing to do when I wanted to break out of my diet. But it is what it is. You know, I got to eat a lot of ice cream before that, more than my fair share. So if I have to be a little stricter now, you know, I'm rolling with it. I'll find some other things to have fun with food-wise. But those restrictions, whether it's allergies or whatnot, it is frustrating, 100%, to just not be able to have the choice. But something like alcohol is, it'll actually help you in the long run in the sense that those aren't going to be any kind of benefit to the calories that you get from alcohol. So being limited in that, you know, can help actually your goals. She finished with another paragraph. I know I need to control my portion sizes, but I usually feel hungry often and mindlessly overeat as a result. I'm prompted to get back on track nutritionally because of recent blood work showed that my cholesterol is high and I'm pre-diabetic, so as I mentioned that. I know that a Mediterranean diet would be best for me. Oof, we're going to come across that. Well, that's not necessarily the case. but I haven't implemented that yet. The only nutrition tracker I've ever used is my FitnessPal, the free version. Totally fine. We can use that. My ideal fitness schedule would include walking slash running and weight training in the morning and pole classes. So she does pole dance classes and yoga Pilates classes in the evening. Kick ass. Love it. That would be a great schedule. You know, she already walks in the mornings, Monday through Friday. So we're going to substitute some of that walking for weight training, get back into running as she's feeling better. So she has some arthritic issues in her feet that we're going to be able to fix with just food selections. So, for example, she has, if you have dairy sugars or citrus fruits, that can sometimes inflame arthritis. So if you reduce dairy sugars like galactose and fructose, which are the sugars from fruit, if you take away galactose and fructose, some people often will have a marked improvement in arthritic symptoms by simply reducing that. You can also reduce processed meats that have high nitrates and nitrites, like sodium solutions to kind of help preserve the meat. If you reduce that, that can help a lot. There are often classifications of vegetables that sometimes can flare up in arthritis. So we're going to look through all that, make sure we address that, and that can actually help her quite a bit. Right now, her current routine is to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and walk or run at 6 a.m., and then she has breakfast at 7:30. We're going to come back to that because that's basically fasted exercise. So she wakes up in the morning and does exercise without having any food in her system. Then she has her breakfast at 7:30. She has milk with protein powder. Now, she's lactose sensitive, so I'm not sure if this is like almond milk or soy milk. If it is cow's milk, that would be a little surprising. But I'm assuming it's more so soy or almond milk if she's lactose sensitive. So she has milk with protein powder, oatmeal, and blueberries in a liter of water. Okay. Then she goes to work at 9 a.m., has coffee and peanut butter pretzels at 10 a.m., lunch is at 12:30. She either goes out to eat, like she said, for work, or she'll have a salad with a hard-boiled egg, maybe some bread or cracker, sometimes a dessert, and then she drinks another liter of water. She leaves work around 4:45. At 5 p.m., she gets home and has a snack of nuts or a bit of leftovers. Then she prepares and eats dinner around 7 p.m. She wrote spinach summer salad with bread or meal of rice with a green veggie and fish or chicken, dessert of fruit slash milk. And then finishes the last 20 to 30 ounces of water by 9 p.m. So she's aiming for a specific amount of water, it appears, every day. And then she's in bed by 11. Okay. And then she says on Mondays, she leaves work and goes directly to the pole class. Okay. So reading through that, this is a very normal thing of what I get, by the way. And this is actually more detailed than what other people give me, so this is pretty good. I like this. The more details, the better. My initial thoughts. Number one, good job on hydration. So she actually does pay attention to hydration. So many people don't consume anywhere near enough hydration, and that's part of why they have low energy levels, poor digestion, like big water bloat. They have way more water retention than they should have because they're just never drinking any water. Therefore, the body's trying to save on everything, and it's, you know, frustrated and stressed. So she's drinking a liter of water at breakfast, a liter of water around lunch, and then she's drinking more water, I'm assuming, through the afternoon and evening, and then finishes what she believes to be the amount she needs by 9 p.m. So I'm assuming she has around 2.5 to 3 liters of water a day. She weighs 180 pounds. Now, that's not lean weight. We know if she wants to lose 30 to 35 pounds, she's probably more so going to feel like lean and mean and fit around 150. So 150 pounds, if you look at hydration levels, this is not a, you know, a 1,000,000% accurate, but it gets you in the ballpark. You can think of how much water you need or fluids as 0.5 to 1 ounce per pound of body weight. So if she weighs 150 pounds, she's looking for 75 to 150 ounces of fluid a day. The more active you are, the more fluid you should have. So we're looking at that. She drinks in liters. There's 33 ounces in a liter. So if we're looking for at least 75, she's around that mark. She could probably afford to drink a little bit more. So I would have her continue to aim for around 3 liters of water a day. So for you, the listener, you would want whatever you think your lean body weight would be. Is that like if you had six-pack abs and you felt comfortable, you know, showing off your midriff on a beach, how much would you weigh? And that weight, you would say, okay, I want about a minimum of half an ounce, like half of my weight in ounces of fluid a day, up to about my body weight in fluid ounces. So if you weighed 200 pounds, you'd be looking for between 100 to 200 ounces of fluid a day. The next thing, as like just general thoughts, are she has good meal frequency. She eats about 5 times a day. That's awesome. That's going to help us better match the food intake to her activity levels throughout the day. That's going to give her better energy throughout the day. It's going to reduce the cravings and hunger issues that she's having. It'll also reduce cortisol and overall stress in the body because we'll be able to feed the body as it needs the food. And then it leads to better water retention balance. So she won't have softness or pudginess around the midsection due to excessive water retention from having mistimed her calories and protein to our activity level. So good stuff. We got a lot of good things there. What I'd suggest is in the morning, we're going to be adding weight training in place of some of these walks and runs. We do not want to weight train. We don't want to run unfueled. So we don't want to run or weight train fasted. It's absolutely horrible idea for many, many, many reasons. So let me get you a podcast that you can listen to so that way I don't have to go through all of the reasons right now because we have a lot of other stuff to cover. okay, so let's see here. We have, fasted. Of course I couldn't exercise, couldn't find it. Okay. Podcast 614 is a nutrition podcast titled The Effects of Caffeine-Fueled Fasted Workouts. So you can listen to that, and that's going to give you a really good, like, the negative effects of fasted workouts. And then we also have podcast 882, which is a nutrition podcast titled If I Hate Fasted Exercise, Why Do I Sometimes Prescribe It? Ooh, there's a little, kind of catch your attention. But I do sometimes prescribe fasted exercise. It's very specific as to why that is and how it's structured. But if you want to listen to that, that could be interesting. Podcast 882. Okay, and then the other one was podcast 614. So we don't want to do fasted workouts. Horrible idea. Not going to help. So we're going to correct that. I'm going to have her consume some protein powder before she works out. We're going to make sure that it's not collagen protein because that goes towards connective tissues. We want muscle-based protein. So we're going to do some protein intake before our workouts. I probably will not provide right away an energy source because she's going to probably be consuming a lot of carbs in the evening, which is going to convert over to glycogen stores. And then she'll have some glycogen stores to use up in the mornings. So she'll have some available energy coming out of that, and since we're not going to be performance-based in regards to our weight training, we're just weight training for the stimulus. We're not trying to lift a specific amount of weight. I don't need her to be maximally fueled to the nth degree. So we're going to start with probably protein powder, see how she does to get the weight to start to come down, and then as she gets closer to her optimal body fat percentage and body weight, then I'll probably go ahead and start adding some carbohydrates before the workouts. But for at first, we're going to start with probably just protein powder before the workout. Then for breakfast, we're just going to make sure that we have enough protein in. So she is paying attention to protein by having some protein powder in milk, but we're going to make sure it's the right amount and the right kind. Sometimes people will take collagen protein thinking they're helping their muscles, and it's not the case. So we want to make sure it's the right type of protein and the right amount. We're also going to add some fats to breakfast. So right now she has carbs, protein and carbs. We're going to add some fats to that to help reduce hunger throughout the day, to make that meal digest a little bit slower for her. Then her mid-morning, instead of pretzels, we're going to focus on a more protein-rich item and try to bring down carbs and fats at that time, which then gives more caloric allowance for lunch to be a little more random, since she needs to have the openness to be able to go to restaurants and we're going to have rules in place, or guidelines is a better way of saying that, to normalize a protein item for lunch. So we want to pick our protein and then build a meal around that. So she's eating out, she'll pick chicken breast or fish or some kind of protein, and then she'll have vegetables around that. If she's bringing her own food, like she was saying, she has a salad with a hard-boiled egg. Unfortunately, the egg isn't enough protein, so we want to have a little more protein richness in that meal, and then we'll build the other items around that, the carbs and fats around that. So that's going to be our focus for lunch, protein first, and then build the meal around it. The 5 p.m. snack when she gets home, we're going to again go for a protein item to really reduce the carbs and fats so it allows for more caloric room at dinner. And then at dinner, again, we're going to do protein first. We're going to choose the protein that we want and then build the meal around that. So that simple kind of focus of protein first in our meal choices and food choices is going to help her quite a bit. Because right now she's undoubtedly under eating her protein. So we want to get that up more and then have more consistency in carbs and fats to give us more total caloric consistency from day to day. So the summary is we're going to be doing protein before our morning activities, whether it's a walk, run, or lifting weights. All of our meals are going to be protein-first choices. We figure out what we're having that's going to give us protein in the meal, how much of it do we need to get the right amount of protein for the meal, and then we fill in carbs and fats around that. We're also going to be adding fats in the morning to make her breakfast digest slower so she doesn't have that random hungerness throughout the day. And we're going to reduce carbs and fats at mid-morning in that 5 p.m. snack to allow for more broad options at lunch and dinner, but still be able to control and reduce her overall caloric intake. For food tracking, she had mentioned that food tracking was hard to do with meals with lots of ingredients and lots of items. So we're really just going to focus on the big stuff. You know, if you have a meat and rice, then track the meat, track the rice. If you have some sauces, you can maybe measure the sauce once, have an idea of what it is. Okay, oh yeah, this will be around 60 calories, or this will be around 80 calories. And now you know for the future. You really only have to measure it one time. And then we know that. But if we're adding small ingredients or little nuances, we don't have to track those necessarily. We just want to be consistent with what we track, so that way as we make changes later on, we know what we're changing from. So you can track large items. You can also just track a couple days a week. They don't have to track every single day. If we're just trying to make some general changes, lose 30, 35 pounds, you don't have to be nitpicky and perfect about everything to get that goal. So we might start with just 2 or 3 days of tracking just to get an idea of what our habits are and where they're putting us number-wise. And then it's up to her. I'll have to talk with her and see what her feelings are on a scale, a body weight scale. If she has some emotional attachment or issues with the body weight scale, we're going to skip it. But if the person doesn't, I like to use the body weight scale to just kind of see how we're doing every week. You know, are we up a pound or two? Are we down a pound or two? And then we kind of help control our portions throughout the days based on what trends we're seeing with body weight. So that's the review. It's basically that simple. We're just going to add some protein before her morning activities. We're going to make sure that we're choosing protein first in all of her meals and then building our carbs and fats around that. We're going to add some fats in the morning, reduce carbs and fats mid-morning and even in the mid-afternoon, and that allows us for more variety of options at lunch and dinner. But again, at lunch and dinner, we're doing protein first and then building our carbs and fats around that. So these are the lessons that you can take is eat before activity. So don't work out in a fasted state. Protein first meals. Decide what you're going to eat for protein, how much of it you need to get the protein you need, and then fill in the carbs and fats from there. And then consistency over specifics. We are more interested in being consistent from day to day than the specifics of what we're eating. So if she wants to eat bread at every single meal, I could care less. As long as we're getting our calories consistent from day to day and our protein consistent from day to day, I don't care what she eats. Now, granted, I don't want her eating Oreos and crappy food and, you know, unnecessarily negative foods. But whether it's rice or bread or pasta or vegetables, you know, carbs are carbs. It's not really going to make much of a difference for us. Now, granted, if she has the arthritis issues, we are going to avoid certain carbohydrates to avoid the galactose and the fructose to help reduce the arthritic symptoms. But overall, the specifics of what we eat don't matter as much as if we're consistent with what we eat. Okay, So I'm going to be meeting with her, telling her all this stuff. We're going to fine-tune some details, and then she's going to be on her way. I'm also going to be doing training for her. So we're going to talk about how to weight train to get her better for running and overall mobility and health for all of life and for dance. So that'll be super fun to help work on mobility and support and stabilization that she'll need for dance. So I'm super excited about this client. I think it's going to be tons of fun. If anybody wants to do any coaching like this, this is what I do. Just check out our services on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can also email me, brutalirongym@gmail.com. Right now, I've been doing 15-minute free consultations. So if somebody's interested in being a client, you can go to our website on this 101 services page and sign up for a free 15-minute consultation. What I've found is it helps me to better select clients that are going to stay with the process. But essentially, I'm very blessed, very grateful that I've been able to have a consistent and good amount of clients, and I really just want to work with people who want to be consistent and give as much as I give. And I'm a little frustrated, a little burned out, a little bummed out when people don't care as much as I care. So I want to talk with people first, get a chance to feel their personality, feel their drive, and see if we'll be a better match for each other. I just want the person to care as much as I do. So I'm willing to give 15 minutes to make sure that happens so I don't waste any more of my time. That sounds aggressive probably. Who knows? The idea is if you want help, if you genuinely want somebody who does give a crap and is going to care as much as you care, that's me because I'm willing to give away free time to make sure it happens. But if you're interested in a free 15-minute consultation, just let me know. You can go to our website, sign up for it. It's virtual. We'll meet over Zoom or whatever, you know, app we find that works for you, depending on where you live. But we'll make it work. We'll make it happen, and we'll get you started. So if you're interested, check that out on the website. Sign up for the free 15-minute consultation. Cool. Well, if you like the podcast, share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.